You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Real and Imagined, Part 2, Back to Orbit. Wow, it's real easy to go overboard on the reverb there. I'm Earl Green. This is In the Grand Theme of Things. We are back in orbit for Part 2 of Space, Real and Imagined. The soundtracks that we will be hearing excerpts from today are connected by a single theme, and that is the theme of space missions, either real or imaginary. For the soundtrack of a movie to be included in this theme, it has to involve a space mission, as we think of a space mission today, which is they launched it just for this plot device. Yeah, you know, we don't have the merchant navy in space, sort of like Star Trek. So, as it turns out, all three of the movies from this installment involve real or imaginary missions from the space shuttle era. The first movie whose soundtrack we will be hearing excerpts from is Gravity, composed by Stephen Price. This was sort of a space disaster movie extraordinaire from 2013. If you got the chance to see this one in 3D, I hear it was awesome in 3D. Me and 3D on the big screen don't play well. You know, for the amount of money I'm paying to sit in that seat, I really don't need a migraine to go with it, so I saw it in 2D. I was still blown away by this movie. The score is really interesting because it sort of straddles the fence between score, which is the music that the viewer hears in the film, but the characters in the film do not hear, and sound design, which is the carefully constructed layers of sound effects that sort of build the world that the movie happens in. If somebody walked into a room, picked up a glass, and then dropped it and it shattered and you didn't hear any of that, if the sound design wasn't done correctly, it would be utterly unconvincing. Sound design is a big thing. However, in Gravity, what they decided to do was they decided to honor the proven fact that sound does not travel through a vacuum. However, they did figure out that sound does travel through vibrations through connected physical objects. So anything you heard in the movie, you heard it in terms of the vibrations traveling through the spacesuit of Sandra Bullock's character, which I thought was very, very well done, and I can't imagine how they actually recorded and modified the sounds for that. Stephen Price started as an arranger and programmer for Trevor Jones. He worked on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and he also worked with Jones on the extremely expensive miniseries Dinotopia. As a music editor, Stephen Price went on to work on the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy, as well as Batman Begins and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. The other scores he has composed have been for the UK movies Attack the Block and The World's End. His next big screen score, obviously Gravity is a good calling card for him, his next big screen score is for the Brad Pitt World War II movie Fury. Gravity was released on CD by Silver Screen. You can also get it on iTunes and Amazon. Here are some selections from Gravity, composed by Stephen Price.
Thank you. Those were highlights from Stephen Price's score for the movie Gravity. You kind of see what I was talking about there in terms of the music is doing the job that you would normally expect the sound design to do. So all of the zipping things going by, well, if the movie is sticking to the physical law that sound does not travel in a vacuum, you wind up with a silent movie. So they did it with the music instead of the sound design. I'm not sure how many people in the theater actually made that distinction, but I thought it was a neat way of doing things. The next movie we're going to hear music from is actually a documentary of sorts, and it's a collision of all sorts of my personal interests. The movie Man on a Mission chronicles Richard Garriott's trip to the International Space Station, his process of applying for a seat on a Soyuz capsule, his training in Star City in Russia, the actual launch of the mission, and his return to Earth. Now, Richard Garriott has two really big claims to fame here. Number one, I was already aware of him long before he went into space because Richard Garriott wrote the Ultima series of computer games, at least the early titles in the series, back when the games were such that one guy could do the programming, or most of the programming. One of the games that Garriott programmed was Ultima 4, which was a huge influence on my teenage years. And it was a very unique game of a kind that we've not had much of since, in that it held you accountable for your actions. The usual sword and sorcery tropes of, you know, raiding all the treasure chests, fighting all the guards, stealing from everybody you see, that wasn't going to get you very far in this game because you would develop a reputation, people would not help you, you would not be able to reach the goal. Anyway, Richard Garriott also has another unique claim to fame. He is the first second-generation astronaut. His father, Owen Garriott, was a member of one of the Skylab crews in the 1970s on the first American space station, Skylab. Quite a bit of the movie involves Richard Garriott and Owen Garriott discussing what to expect and what has changed. The composer of the score to Man on a Mission is Brian Satterwhite. He's based out of Austin, Texas. His other works include the web series Cell, the web series, and Super Knocked Up, which involves a superhero and a supervillain having a child. The things you can get away with on the web. He's also done quite a few documentaries and shorts, including The Children's War, The Quiet War, and Funky Pickles, which I have no idea what that's about. I just wanted to say, Funky Pickles. Funny thing about the Man on a Mission soundtrack is it was released in a very limited edition to the tune of about 1,500 copies by La La Land Records, and they still haven't sold out. Not only do they still have them in stock, but get this, they've knocked the price down to $5, and they're all autographed by the composer, and they're still sitting in the warehouse. So you can go to lalalandrecords.com and get an autographed copy of the soundtrack for $5, or you can spend twice that downloading it from Amazon or iTunes. Take your pick. You're probably going to be paying the same amount in postage if you get a physical copy. I just think it's kind of sad. It's a decent soundtrack, and the movie may have taken off. The movie may have depicted someone taking off. The soundtrack didn't take off. Here are some selections from Man on a Mission, music by Brian Satterwhite, with additional music by John Constant. Thank you. That music was from the movie Man on a Mission, involving Richard Garriott's mission to the International Space Station. Music was by Brian Satterwhite and John Constant. The next movie we're going to be hearing music from was a victim of terrible timing. The worst timing you can imagine. Okay, do you remember how right before September 11th, 2001, there were trailers for the Spider-Man movie that was coming out that fall that involved Spider-Man swinging from one of the World Trade Towers to the other? The moment that history sort of took that image in a different direction, that trailer just sort of vanished. And in fact, they digitally airbrushed the towers out of the background skyline of New York City in the movie. The movie we're about to hear music from is a victim of similarly bad timing. It had been in development since 1984. The movie is Space Camp. Space Camp was produced by Steven Spielberg, and it starred his wife, Kate Capshaw. And it was meant to be just a fun little summer family movie involving a bunch of kids accidentally getting launched into orbit on the space shuttle Atlantis, which is not equipped for a trip to space, and so they have to return as quickly as possible. Wackiness and peril ensue. Space Camp ran into one big problem. Just a few months before it was released, the space shuttle Challenger got off the launch pad and then blew up 73 seconds later. All of a sudden, Space Camp was a movie that no one in their right mind would put in front of an audience. And so the studio was trying to figure out how they were going to dance on eggshells around this huge piece of history that had just happened and still get this movie into the theaters. The result was that they kind of soft-shoed the promotion of Space Camp. I remember I went to see it in the theater, and I had no problem distinguishing fantasy from reality, but then I'm kind of funny that way. The movie had a fine soundtrack by none other than John Williams, because Spielberg was able to bring in some A-list talent on a movie that otherwise was really kind of silly. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it there. It's kind of a silly, goofy family movie, one for the kids, with some A-list talent on it. Of course, the soundtrack kind of disappeared into obscurity along with the rest of the movie and everything else to do with the movie. There was an LP released. You were lucky if you got your hands on one. It wasn't exactly heavily promoted. The music from the LP release was later released on CD in Japan by a label that only pressed something like 1,200 copies. The copies of this Japanese CD of the soundtrack from Space Camp became unheard of treasure that would change hands for prices that you could probably amounts of money you could probably spend on buying a new house. The CD was that rare. In 2010, Entrada Records decided to license basically the same music, the same program that was on the Japanese CD, and release it in the US again in a limited format. Only a couple thousand copies were pressed, and they're gone. And the thing sold out in record time. This despite a pressing error that became a pressing error for the label. They actually had to replace everyone's CDs. So technically, even though they only released 2,000 copies of this, there are 4,000 copies floating around, half of them with some sort of mastering error. Anyway, we're going to listen now to some John Williams doing what John Williams does best. The movie is Space Camp. The music's by John Williams. Enjoy. Thank you. Music from Space Camp by John Williams himself. That, friends, is the sound of Jinx putting Mac into space. That's it for this particular theme. I think I've run out of movie soundtracks to play highlights from that involve fictitious and real space missions. Almost. You may notice that there are certain bodies of the solar system that this theme really didn't venture to. Stand by. We may be visiting those parts of the solar system at a later date. That's all for now. In the grand theme of things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.